Good morning, Lord. Lord, once again, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We just pray, Lord, that your word will work in our hearts. Help us to receive what you have for us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd open up heaven for us, instruct us, guide us, convict us. Speak to us, Lord, please, through your words. Lord, I don't want my words to be spoken. I want your words to be spoken. We need you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our opening scripture this morning was John 7:37-38. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." The last day, the great day of the feast. This was the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, which is probably coming up in about a month or so. All the high holy days will be here. You know, if you turn to, you don't have to, but if you turn to Leviticus 23:39, it talks about this. And it talks about a feast, a seven-day feast that has a high holy day, a Sabbath, a holy convocation on the first day, and another one on the eighth day. We had some fun with this some time ago. A feast, a seven-day feast that has a high holy day on the first day and on the eighth day. How's that possible? God can do it, can't he? This should tell you right there that there's something significant going on. And there is. Feast of Tabernacles has not been fulfilled yet. Yes, they celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, but that is the gathering of God's people together. And that's what that signifies. Yes, it's a memorial of when they were in the wilderness wandering. Anybody here been in the wilderness wandering? It's nice there, isn't it? In the backside of the desert? What's the connection between Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, and John 7:37-38? You know, there's nothing unimportant in the Bible. Everything's connected. The last great day, the high holy day, the eighth day. On that day, there would be the largest crowd assembled at the temple. They had a ritual that they did every day, but especially on the eighth day. The high priest would gather together in their white outfits, their white robes, and they would make the trip down from the temple down to the Pool of Siloam, and they would, with golden vases, and they would bring back water out of the Pool of Siloam for libation to drink. Isaiah 12:3 says, "Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." They would recite that. The wells of salvation. You know what the Hebrew word for salvation is? Some of you do, because I've said this before. In most cases, the Hebrew word for salvation is Yeshua. So what are they celebrating? The wells of Yeshua, the wells of Jesus Christ. And from the midst of the crowd, a voice was heard. In the middle of all this celebrating and all this this festive atmosphere, a voice is heard. "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." What's he doing? What's he saying? He's saying this is about him. Every high holy day, every feast, every day, every part of the law is about Jesus Christ. It's about him. So from the midst of the crowd, a voice was heard. Jesus. You know, many people don't like it when Jesus shows up. Especially when he shows up and ruins a church service. Of course, he doesn't, does he? He has his way. He can do that anytime he wants. He can do whatever he wants to here. I try to tell him that every week. Please, Lord, make it interesting. You always do. In the book of John, we see Jesus in chapter 1 claiming to be Jacob's ladder. In chapter 3, it's the brass serpent on the pole that he's claiming to be. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent on the pole, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In chapter 6, it was the manna. And here in chapter 7, it's the rock out of which came forth the water. He is the rock. Exodus 17, 1 through 7 talks about that rock that the water came out of. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin. Now that's interesting. That got my attention right away. It's Sinai, of course, but yet it's worded S-I-N, the wilderness of Sin. Have you ever been there? We have, haven't we? After their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses, and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses, and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." I waited till now to give you the definition of chide. It means complain, contend. But we can tell by reading it that they're ready to, it's some very serious contention, isn't it? They're really upset. The Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord with us or not?" Didn't he show them? With the Passover, with the parting of the Red Sea? Didn't that show them? We forget pretty easy, don't we? Rephidim. I looked it up in the Strong's Concordance, and it just says it's a place. But I went a little deeper. You know, a few years ago, we did a study on Wednesday night out of Psalm 119. And we spent a lot of time, because each group of verses, there's 22 of them, represents one of the Hebrew letters. Each Hebrew letter has a meaning. Not just the word, but each letter has a meaning. Rephidim is spelled Resh, Pe, Yod, Dalet, Yod, Mem. Resh is a picture of a head, because our language is just phonetic. And we have a hard time with that, don't we? Hebrew is phonetic, it's numerical, and it also, as I said, it's pictorial. Resh, we get the letter R from that, is it's the head, a picture of a head. It means the first, the highest, the supreme. Pei means to speak a word, a command. Yod, which is a picture of an arm, means a work or a deed. It means to make, to perform a task. Dalet means door, a door, a gate, an opening. If you look at the Star of David, which is Israel's national symbol, you see two Dalets on it. It's for the word David. There's two Dalets. It starts and it ends with the letter, what we use as a D, Dalet. And once again, Yod, which is the arm, a work, a deed, or to make, or to perform a task. And the last letter is Mem, which means water. It's not just standing water, it's rushing water. So if you put them all together, it says the highest or supreme word or command to make an opening, to make or to cause water. Was it already named Rephidim before he did that? I don't know, but I find it interesting because they called the name of the place Masada, they renamed it afterwards. It doesn't say that they named it before. So, anyway. What did Jesus say? He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Let him come. That's one of the friendliest, simplest words in the English language. It's a word of invitation. We see it many times in the Bible. When Noah was told to enter the ark, he wasn't told to go into the ark. The Lord told him, come into the ark. Not go, come. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are tired and all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus many times said, come to me. Come. As I said, it's one of the simplest words in the English language. It's so simple, even a dog can understand it. My dog does sometimes. Come. It speaks of action. And it relies on the will to carry it out. We have to choose, don't we, to do it. When we come to Jesus, what part of our body is involved? Somebody say feet? Feet? We'll get there, Gretchen. Yes, our feet are involved, but even more so, our heart, as Gretchen said. How about the mouth? With the heart, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the mouth, we confess that He's Lord. So both are involved, aren't they? What do we do about the world? We turn our back on it. So the back's involved. How do we come to Jesus? With empty hands. What can we bring to Him? Nothing. We have nothing we can offer Him. He accepts us the way we are. We come to Jesus. It doesn't say we come to the communion table. It doesn't say we come to the baptistry. It doesn't say we come to the pastor or a deacon or any member of the congregation. We come to Him. Those things are important, of course. They're very important. But most important is that we come to Him. He's a person. He seeks relationship with us. Nothing is a substitute for Jesus Christ. When we come to Jesus, what do we rely on? religion, or relationship? What is it he seeks with us, really? He seeks to have a relationship with us. Religion? As I've mentioned before, I used to be very religious. I drank a quart of tequila every night religiously. Pharisees couldn't figure that out. They had a hard time with what he did there because they knew what he was saying. They had a hard time with him with a lot of the things he said. But with boldness, he always spoke out, didn't he? We should be that way, shouldn't we? There's going to come a time when people aren't going to like what we have to say. It's already here. But it's going to get worse. The Pharisees couldn't figure it out. Many today that profess to be Christians haven't figured it out either. Relationship. So simple. He says, come to me. Come and what? Come and drink. Many come to him, but how many drink of him? How many partake of him? How many receive him? Many decide on him, but how many follow through? What is it that people are most thirsty for? Him. Everybody thirsts for Jesus. They may deny him, but yet inside them they have that. When Jesus said this, what was going on? What was happening? Religion? Ritual? It's easy to think that ritual is all that's needed. Every other religion in the world focuses on what we do for whatever God they're worshiping. Christianity focuses on what he did for us. We do what we do for him because he did what he did for us. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. That's talking about making Jesus Christ your own. Make him your individual, personal Savior. Paul talks in two places, in Romans and also in 1 Corinthians. He talks about the one that Christ died for. Don't hurt or harm with your food the one that Christ died for. The one. Yes, he died for everybody that would receive him. But each one of us can say he died for me. He's my personal Savior. He's my Lord. Where was Jesus when he spoke those words? He wasn't in a prison. He wasn't in a jail cell. He wasn't in a casino. He wasn't in a bar. He wasn't at a football game. He was in the temple. He was in the house of God. They were observing a high holy feast, a divinely appointed feast. These are very religious people. They were very sincere about keeping the law and doing the things that God wanted them to do, but yet they missed the whole thing, didn't they? Not all of them. Many of them did. And yet, they didn't even recognize him. You know, every time I have an opportunity to put the next passage into a sermon, I will. One of my favorite passages is Isaiah 58, 1 through 3. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Come. How many times did you count them? How many times did it say come? You might as well count how many times it says that in the Bible, because it's all throughout the Bible. One of the last things it said is, even so, come, Lord Jesus, where we bid him come to us. And he will. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of his belly? How does he do that? The belly is where the hunger and the thirst are found. Living waters. Rushing water. Isaiah 58:11, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. In verse 39, we see, if we were to continue in our reading, we'd see that he's talking of speaking of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit causes that. I'm going to close with Exodus 15:23-25. It's kind of unrelated, but yet there's a message there that we need to hear. In it, we read about the bitter waters being healed. This is when this actually happened before Rephidim, when they came to a place that had water, but the water was bitter. And what did God tell them to do? What should we do? When our water is bitter, when our life is bitter. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. What do we think of when we think of that? Don't we think of the cross? The cross is what makes life sweet for us. It makes our bitter waters sweet. And I'm going to leave you with that. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Raise your hands if you're willing, if you're ready to come to Jesus. You may have done it before. Just, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that it will remain in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that it will continue to speak to us. Come unto me, you say. Those who are weary and heavy laden, those who thirst, come into your place of protection as you spoke to Noah. Come into the ark. Come into my salvation. We can't be saved unless we come to him. The first time the word come appears in the Bible is in come into the ark. Your provision, your water, the fullness of life, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Yes, Lord, we come. Lord, I pray for your blessing on your people today. I pray as we go our separate ways, Lord, that you would go with us. We need you, Lord. We need your guidance. We need your counsel. We need your protection. And most importantly, we need your salvation. We need your Yeshua. And Lord, I pray that you'd bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That concludes our service. I want to thank you all for coming.